Good afternoon. I'm Dr. David Blumenthal, President of the Commonwealth Fund. Thank you for joining us to hear about the Commonwealth Fund's new survey. Do Americans face greater mental health and economic consequences from COVID-19, comparing the U.S. and other high-income countries? I'll provide some brief background, and Reggie Williams, who leads the Commonwealth Fund's International Health Policy and Practice Innovations Program and is the lead author of the study, will give an overview of the survey results. Next, we'll hear from Eric Schneider, Senior Vice President for Policy and Research at the Fund and another study author, who will discuss the research implications and what the U.S. can learn from other countries' handling of COVID-19. A reminder that the information discussed on this call is embargoed until 12:01 a.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, August 6th. The Commonwealth Fund has been doing cross-national health system comparison research for decades, but this is the first time that every single nation surveyed has been facing the same crisis at the same time. This is a unique opportunity, therefore, for us to look at how people around the world and their healthcare systems have fared so far under the incredible strain of the COVID-19 pandemic, and to see what we can learn from it. This survey, fielded March through May of this year, looks at people's experiences during the pandemic's initial surge in the U.S. and 9 other wealthy nations. The survey findings, which Reggie will detail in a moment, show that Americans face far greater mental health and economic challenges from COVID-19 and have lower levels of trust in national leadership compared to residents in other high-income countries. It's no secret that at a time when many leaders around the world are reopening their countries, ours is still struggling to return to work and daily life. As the number of confirmed COVID cases and deaths in the U.S. continue to climb, we need to start implementing the public health measures that we know work, like mask wearing, social distancing, and robust testing and tracing that can help us stop COVID-19 as so many others have effectively accomplished. I'll turn now to Reggie for the report findings.
Thank you, David. Good afternoon. We are humbled to share these important findings from our research. For my remarks, please refer to the PowerPoint presentation that was included with the materials for this teleconference. Before I review the details of the data, on this cover slide, I want to mention a few things. It's clear that the mental health and economic impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic are taking a substantial toll on people across the globe. Data from our research demonstrates that U.S. adults, when compared to people in 8 other high-income countries, face greater mental health and financial consequences from the COVID-19 pandemic. It is also notable that few U.S. adults believe that national leadership has done a good job of managing the pandemic when compared to other countries. On slide 2, we see that there are 3 major takeaways from this international survey. Compared to other countries, the U.S. performs less well. For mental health, 1/3 of U.S. adults report experiencing mental health concerns, a significantly higher proportion than in other countries. 2, financially, over 30% of Americans face negative economic impacts due to the pandemic, significantly more than in the comparison countries. And 3, with respect to national leadership, 30% of U.S. adults said the president has done a good or very good job of handling the pandemic. When compared to other country leaders and central governments, they have higher marks. On slide 3, a quick word on how we conducted the study. We completed the study as a special supplement to our annual international survey from March to May of this year. We focused on adults in Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, the UK, and the US. We had a total of 8,259 respondents. Now let's take a deeper dive into the findings on the next slide. As I stated earlier, Americans are more likely than people in other countries to report mental health concerns. Slide 4 shows that 33% of people in the United States report experiencing stress, anxiety, and great sadness that was difficult to cope with alone since the outbreak started, followed by the UK and Canada with 26%. In the next slide, 5, we found that less than a third of people in the U.S. who wanted to get care were able to get mental health care, with a similar rate in the UK. But people in Canada and Australia were better able to access the care they wanted. On to the financial consequences. Slide 6. This slide brings the economic impact of COVID-19 on individuals into clear focus. At 30%, a significantly higher percentage than in any other countries, U.S. adults report being unable to pay for basic necessities like food and rent, using up most of their personal savings, or borrowing money or taking out a loan. Rates were also high in Canada at 24% and Australia at 21%. Meanwhile, only 6% to 7% of German and Dutch respondents reported these financial hardships. If you couple this with unemployment claims we are seeing every week in the United States, you see the financial hardship many Americans are facing when compared to others internationally. We dive deeper into this in slides 10 and 11 included in the appendix of this presentation. Finally, on slide 7, you see the data on trust in different countries' governments' pandemic response, national, state, regional, and local. Only 33% of U.S. adults said the U.S. president has done a good or very good job of handling the coronavirus pandemic. In other countries, at least 49% of respondents had positive views of how their president, prime minister, or central government has dealt with the crisis. Germany had the highest rate at 95%. Americans were also among the least likely, along with the French and Swedes, to report that their state, regional, or local leaders had done a very good or good job at handling the pandemic. I hate to end on a negative note, so I'll point you to a bright spot that is also in the appendix, slide 12. People in all countries reported positive views of how healthcare practitioners have responded to the pandemic. So in conclusion on slide 9, our survey findings demonstrate that people in the United States face greater mental health and economic challenges from COVID-19 and have relatively lower levels of trust in national leadership compared to residents of other high-income countries. As the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases and deaths in the United States continues to swell, national, state, and local policymakers can look abroad for early lessons learned and innovative strategies for dealing with the pandemic. These findings also show that the U.S. can do more to meet people's mental health care needs alongside our efforts to address economic needs. Thank you, and now I'll turn to Eric to offer his reflections.
Great. Thank you very much, Reggie, and thank you, David. And thanks to all who are attending. I want to take a few minutes now to offer thoughts about why residents of other high-income countries in our survey were less likely than those in the U.S. to report mental health and economic burdens, and reflect on some features of these other systems that offer lessons for the U.S. The Commonwealth Fund has been studying the health systems of the U.S. and other countries for many years, and on the fund website, we maintain a set of country profiles that describe key features of these country health systems. It's well known that low-income and impoverished populations have worse health than their wealthier counterparts. The COVID-19 pandemic is revealing and amplifying the health challenges related to low income and poverty. So in light of this, we see four general features of the other countries' health systems that may be blunting the mental health and economic challenges experienced in other countries and may be useful to the U.S. as it responds to the pandemic and looks to improve resilience for future health disasters and reduce the mental health and economic burdens that Americans face. First, universal coverage in other high-income countries has many benefits to the population. It can soften the financial blow of an unexpected illness, especially when facing an unpredictable acute infection like the novel coronavirus that may be more likely to strike poor and uninsured individuals. People who are uninsured are less likely to seek preventive care and to seek care when they are sick. Programs that achieve universal coverage would largely eliminate the risk of losing insurance, especially during times of high unemployment as we face now. But simply having coverage is not enough. Many Americans with insurance are underinsured, meaning they can be exposed to high out-of-pocket expenses because of copays and deductibles if they get sick and need health care. Americans also face the challenge of high prices and so-called surprise billing for uncovered services and providers. Other countries with universal health insurance coverage systems are able to limit or cap exposure to out-of-pocket costs. Residents of countries with universal coverage in our survey are reporting less anxiety and less economic worry than Americans are experiencing. The second feature is that other countries are more likely to provide everyone access to a trusted source of primary care. Primary care is frequently the first point of contact for people with mental health concerns. It is the main source of care for common mental health problems like depression and anxiety. Trusted primary care clinicians can play a large role in arming people with knowledge about COVID-19, and this may help to reduce their anxiety. A trusted primary care team can help people worried about COVID-19 to interpret symptoms, navigate decisions about testing, offer guidance about prevention, treatment, and follow-up. Primary care is likely to play a key role in vaccination when vaccines become available. The third issue is or feature is that mental health and economic challenges that people are experiencing in the U.S. can be addressed by social support programs. Those social support programs in other countries are more generously financed than in the U.S. And especially they're important in the midst of a pandemic with a sudden once-in-a-century economic crisis. The first is paid sick leave. Without paid sick leave, people struck by COVID-19 and the larger group of people who need to quarantine to keep their coworkers and families safe are faced with an impossible decision, whether to put their family at risk for COVID-19 by continuing to work in order to pay for food, rent, and utilities, or whether to stay home from work at the risk of losing a job and putting the family at financial risk. Universal paid sick leave could resolve this dilemma and improve the effectiveness of response to the pandemic. The second is unemployment insurance. Millions of Americans have lost jobs, and millions more will lose jobs because of the pandemic in the U.S. Extended unemployment insurance could keep millions of people from losing homes, cars, from being unable to pay utilities, and dealing with the physical and mental health consequences of homelessness, hunger, and debt. The third is childcare and education. Millions of Americans are now, some for the first time, experiencing the challenge of finding safe childcare so they can continue to work. Childcare centers and K-12 education schools need significant support to safely provide many vital health, nutrition, and other social programs as they fulfill their education mission for children and provide the care that others need to stay in the economy. Finally, the poll notes large differences between countries in views of the leadership response to the pandemic. In public health disasters, several actions can reassure the public and reduce pandemic-driven anxiety. Some leaders of nations and some states in the U.S. have been more effective than others. The first action is that effective leaders have used clear and consistent messaging based on scientific evidence and the advice of experts. They have tried to avoid politicizing decisions about stay-at-home orders, reopening businesses and schools, and recommended disease control steps like social distancing and the wearing of masks. These leaders have also acted decisively to coordinate and plan for testing supply, contact tracing programs, and healthcare workers to be available where they are needed in a timely way. In some other countries, this reduced threat to healthcare systems that might otherwise have been overwhelmed by local outbreaks, and it reduced the surge in demand for testing and hospital services and made it possible for their healthcare system to function without having to resort to crisis standards of care or other challenges. These are just some of the key features of other country health systems that may account for the lower mental health and economic, the mental health and economic burdens that people have reported in other countries compared to the higher rates of those in among Americans. As the pandemic continues to challenge all of our nations at different times going forward, we will, for better or worse, have a chance to learn more from other countries about the ways we can strengthen our U.S. healthcare system and respond more effectively to this pandemic and to future disasters. So I'll stop there and turn it over to David.
Thank you, Eric. We'll open the floor to questions.
To ask a question today, please press star and one. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Again, that is star and one. We'll pause a moment to allow any questions to queue. We'll go first to Tom Corwin with the Augusta Chronicle.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I see that the survey cutoff was May 25th, and I'm curious about what you think those results would be if you had taken it more recently. We went back and looked at the numbers just for the past week with John Hopkins, and if you looked at the U.S. compared to the other wealthy nations, if all of their cases combined, the U.S. would still have far more cases than all of the other countries combined for the past week, and you know, far more deaths. So I'm curious about what you think that survey might, would the gap be even bigger in your opinion between the U.S. and these countries?
So this is David Blumenthal. Let me know if you have trouble hearing me. I think, of course, it's very hard to speculate. There have been so many things that have happened through government action and through the natural history of this epidemic in the United States. It is, I think, clearly the case that the United States continues with 4% of the population to have roughly 20 to 25% of the cases and deaths. So the burden of the illness in the United States remains huge compared to its role, its international size. I would expect that if the Congress fails to enact a extension of unemployment benefits and eviction protections in a timely way, that the difference between the United States and the rest of the world would only grow. And to some degree, those benefits may already have ceased to flow. So it wouldn't surprise me if that grew, if that gap were greater this week than last week. But I think, as I said before, that's entirely speculation, and I'm not even sure that a survey would pick that up.
Thank you.
And apologies for any sound issues during the call. As a reminder, that is star and one. We'll go next to Jason King with PBS News.
Hi, thank you guys for hosting this call. Really appreciate it. My question is a bit of a technical one. How did you decide which countries to include here of your of the countries included in your cross-national comparisons? And will you be releasing data for some of the other countries that you follow? Particularly, I'm interested in Switzerland.
Reggie, do you want to reply to that?
Yes. So as a part of our survey work that we do on an annual basis, we focus on generally 10 other high-income countries in our international survey. And so we offer the supplement to that survey, and we were able to have 8 other countries participate in that process. We'll have a survey that is released later this year, which will have some broader findings that look at issues of access and affordability of healthcare, and that will have Switzerland included as a part of that. Unfortunately, they did not participate in some of these very COVID-specific questions.
Thank you.
Again, that is star and one. We'll pause one more moment. And there appear to be no questions at this time. I'll turn it back to the speakers for any closing remarks.
I just want to thank everyone for listening. If you need additional information, we'll be available this afternoon. And just a reminder that the embargo for this report lifts at 12:01 a.m. tomorrow.